Is that better? Yes, it is. Thank you. Whatever we are between the 10s and the 90s, or in between, every one of us, as we enter into the second month, the beginning of the second month of 2019, we all enter this room today with something in common. And something that we all entered in common in this room is something we all brought into this room today. We all brought something that is common to every person in this room. We all brought into this room this morning our life experiences. Every single one of us have brought our life experiences in here today. Now, here's where we begin to divert. We begin to divert on how do we look at those life experiences. And as you can see up on the screens, the question is, what is your experience, or what is your perspective on those life experiences? Now, I've got one verse that I want you to look at with me, and then as we talk about life experiences, I'm going to share several passages, several verses with you, but we're going to see if we can hang this on one verse that happens to be my verse that radically changed my life, and you'll understand why in just a few minutes. So, I think it may come up on the screen in just a moment, but the verse, and this verse, by the way, it may be common to a lot of you. It's a very well-known verse, and it's Romans 8:28. And I'm going to read that verse, and I want to see if we can take off in looking at the two perspectives that you and I diverge on. While we all have in common, we brought life experiences, but the way we view those in our perspective can be radically different. And here's what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Let me point out something about that verse to you. The word, the two words, all things, you could substitute, and we know that in all life experiences, God works for the good of those who love Him. And by the way, I have quoted, actually wear that verse. I have worn a bracelet for over 25 years. But for almost 30 years now, I have quoted that verse, and this isn't preacher talk, okay? I have literally quoted that verse thousands of times since 1989. You'll understand why in just a moment. I have said that verse, I have used that verse, I have thought about that verse thousands and thousands of times, said it thousands of times. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, somewhere in that time frame, I saw something in that verse that I had never seen in all the years of quoting that verse. I had always known, and people have always said, God never says all of your life experiences are good. He says that He will use them for good. I knew that. And most of us have to hold on to that a lot of times in our life. But what I did not see, and before I share with you what I did not see, I want to point out something to you. Have you ever heard someone say this? God, why? Why did you do that? Why did this person walk out on me? God, why did I lose this job? Why did this person have to leave my life? God, why? And they become angry with God. Why, God? Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? I'm going to share something in this verse that if you can go from an intellectual consent to this is true to actually living it out, it can change radically everything about your life and every experience that you have in your life. The last two words in the verse. Paul, the writer of this, through the Holy Spirit, does not say, according to your purpose. It is according to His purpose. Your life is not as a follower of Christ. You gave up your purpose and now have transferred to His purpose. I submit to you this morning, you will never, ever fully leverage and utilize His purpose for your life until you understand that your life is not about you, it is about Him. It'll change your life if you can move from that intellectual consent to a living reality that your purpose is for what He wants to accomplish in your life. Now, this morning, to help you understand life experiences and what is your perspective, I want to take five life experiences. And you've heard this phrase before. I want you to be able to get your hands around this. This morning, or get your head around this. This morning, what I really hope to do in the few minutes that I'm going to have with you is really to help you get your heart around this. So I want to share five types of life experiences. And I'm going to make a commercial plug right here. Pastor's going to come up at the end and talk to you a little bit more about it. But you see on the screen, you see the word PLACE. PLACE is an acronym. And what the acronym stands for, the P is for personality discovery. And I've written some stuff that'll help you understand your personality. What difference does that make and where and how God wants to use you? The L is learning spiritual gifts. Hopefully, as everybody in here walks through what we call the PLACE experience, you'll learn what a spiritual gift is not through the teaching that I've created in the workbook. You'll learn what a spiritual gift is. How do you discover your gifts beyond a spiritual gift assessment? But you'll also use one of those in helping you in the discovery. The A is for abilities awareness and looking at what is the environment through your abilities that you'll be competent in and fulfilled in. The C is connecting passion with ministry. Then the last letter, E, is experiences of life. And so this morning, I'm kind of taking you to the end of that acronym, but I hope as you walk through the PLACE experience, you'll even be able to go back and connect your life experiences to how God has uniquely created you through those other elements of PLAC. But for the few minutes, I want to take five life experiences and hopefully help you get your heart around them as you ask this question, life experiences, what is your perspective? The first type of life experience that I want to talk about is what I call spiritual experiences. I'll give you a passage of scripture that you may not recognize the passage, but you may know the story. Some of you may know. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Young Samuel, he keeps having these dreams. And young Samuel, this young boy, keeps going to his mentor, Eli, and he kept saying, "What do they mean? What do they mean?" And Eli kept saying, "Listen to God, listen to God." Well, we know now that God was calling young Samuel to be the prophet for the people of Israel. Many of you know the story of the Apostle Paul, who in Acts chapter 9 was blinded on the road to Damascus. And that blinding experience is what we call his conversion experience. I think all of us in here would agree that that young boy having those dreams and Paul having that experience on that road had some pretty spiritual experiences with God for their direction and their purpose in life. But I know sometimes what people think, whether they even consciously think it or not. You know, I've never had a dream and I've never been blinded on a road anywhere. But do some of you realize in here this morning that we've come to crossroads in our lives, places where we needed direction, where we needed hope, where we needed something to give us the desire to make it past the day that maybe we're in. And we had talked to everyone and nothing was working. And somewhere God, almost in a miraculous way, comes down and gives us the direction, the hope that we need to go and, watch this, fulfill His purpose in and through our life. I had one of those experiences many years ago. I committed my life to Christ as a freshman in college, and the next year I had committed to go back to my home church in Vidalia, Georgia, where I grew up, and I had committed to be a youth intern in that church. And I'd committed in the spring of my sophomore year. Something happened. I was at a retreat. Something happened between that retreat and that summer when it got time to go back to my hometown to be a youth intern. And I began to struggle. The first thing we had to do when I first started the first day is we had to come here to Atlanta, and we had to spend 6 days in a conference downtown with 16,000 people. And I'm struggling. I'm not struggling about whether I want to be in that conference that week. I'm not struggling about whether or not I want to be a youth intern that summer. I'm struggling with whether I even want to walk the Christian life. I'm struggling with that whole entire week, sitting in the rafters up by myself day after day. I'm struggling with whether or not I'm going to leave that conference and at the end of it walk away from Christianity and get all I can and can all I get, because tomorrow I may die. I will never, never forget to this day the most spiritual experience I've ever had in my life. First Friday, June 1981, 10:30 in the morning. Brian, they didn't even have music in this conference for those 6 days. It was not emotional. While God did not speak to me in an audible voice, He spoke to me just as real as I am speaking to you this morning. And He said, Jay, you have spent your entire life to be the very best athlete that you can be. I have broken 17 bones in my body, including my back. And He said, Jay, your senior year of high school, when your back messed up on you and you went back to the doctor and they x-rayed it and found out that the way your bone grew back together and told you that if you were hit wrong, you would be paralyzed the rest of your life, you never, never thought twice about whether you were going to keep playing football. When are you going to make that kind of commitment to me? Folks, I can't tell you that every day of my life I've walked the life that I probably want to. But I believe today, this morning, fulfilling the purpose that God has for my life goes back to a spiritual experience in 1981 that God came and spoke to me and gave me what I needed to carry on this journey that we call the Christian life. God often uses the spiritual moments in your life to give you the hope and the direction to fulfill, watch this, His purpose. Secondly, God often uses what I like to call religious educational experiences. There's a couple of verses in Acts 26, verses 4 and 5. Maybe they aren't familiar to you, but it's where the Apostle Paul talked about being a Jew of all Jews, knowing the laws, knowing the customs. By the way, anybody in here from a Jewish heritage? Anybody? Oh, I got one. Every now and then I'll ask that question and I'll see someone raise their hand. A few years back, I got to teach this material in Israel, and I had a lot of people there from a Jewish heritage. Have you ever come to the realization, if you didn't raise your hand, you're not from a Jewish heritage, have you ever come to the realization in your life that because of the experience of a four-year-old little boy, you sit in this room this morning? That little boy turned five. And because of what that little boy experienced at 5 years old, you sit in this room. He turned six. And because what he experienced at six, we sit here today. You say, Jay, what are you talking about? Wasn't it the Apostle Paul who went before the Jewish Christians and convince the Jewish Christians that the gospel should be taken to us as Gentiles. Guys, if you read your scriptures, the scriptures say that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that he wants none, no, not any, to perish. And if you go back and read really closely in the Old Testament, God has always wanted all of us. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul that convinced them for him to be able to take the gospel to the Gentiles? How did he do that? I believe he did it two things. One, he knew the Old Testament. And two, those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem knew that he knew the Old Testament. And he had the credibility to convince them that it was God's plan for us as Gentiles to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm mentoring a group of young men, and one night we're sitting in a little semicircle giving our testimonies to each other. And some of the guys in that group have come some pretty rough places to get to their place where they are today in their faith in Christ. And one of the guys in the group, his name is Chad. Chad is 6'6" tall, and Chad begins to cry. And he says, "Jay, I don't have a testimony. I committed my life to Christ at an early age. I graduated from high school. I went off to a Christian college. I graduated for the last several years. I've been a middle school teacher in the summers. I go to a Christian camp and work with kids at that Christian camp." And he begins to cry more. And he says, "I just don't have a testimony." And I looked at him and I said, "Chad, how many of those kids at Camp Cunnicutt are trying to decide, do I go the way of the world or do I go the way of God?" I said, "Chad, you may not know much about the way of the world, but for the 26 years that you've been on this planet, you have walked with God. And many of those kids at that camp are trying to decide which way they go." And I said, "Chad, they're going to look at your life and say, that's the life that I want." I said, "Yes, you do have a testimony, Chad. Yes, you do." Can I tell you this morning, when you think you've sat in one too many Bible studies, maybe you've listened to one too many of the pastor's sermons, you've been to one too many trainings of something that is teaching you out of God's Word, when you think you've got it all, it may very well be in the hearing, the receiving, the teaching of the Word of God, that God teaches you something through this book and His principles that will take you down the road that will allow you to fulfill, watch this, His purpose in your life. What's your perspective on those life experiences? Is it just something you're doing? Are you realizing that through the teaching, the receiving of God's Word, He may use it to allow you to impact lives that you could have never allowed apart from the training that you received? God uses our religious educational experiences. Number three, God uses painful experiences. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you, 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. And here's what it says. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." I'm going to be very transparent with you for just a moment. And I'm going to share with you the most painful experience that I've ever been through in my life. 30 years ago in February of 1989, I was a youth pastor in Columbia, South Carolina. I had been doing what I called climbing the ecclesiastical ladder about every 2 years, a little bigger church, a little bigger church. And in July of 1989, I was moving from Columbia, South Carolina, to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I was going to be the college pastor at First Baptist Church, Tuscaloosa, that during the school year had some 300 to 400 college students that attended each Sunday at the church. It was something I just dreamed of, getting to do life with college students, and I wasn't that far out of college myself. And on July 19th, 1989, a Wednesday night, about 8:30 in the evening in the Shoney's Inn, I went to pick up the phone to call a real estate agent that my wife and I had been looking for houses for a couple of days and found the one that we wanted to see if we could purchase. I went to pick the phone up in that motel, and as I went to pick up that phone, 5 words changed the entire course of my life. Have you ever recognized how simple words can be, but so profound? 5 words. I don't love you anymore. And my wife, who is now my ex-wife, walked out of that motel, said goodbye, and divorced me. This morning, to tell you that it was a traumatic experience in my life is an understatement. Because you see, 2 weeks after I heard those 5 words, I tried to commit suicide. And I ended up in a psychiatric hospital here in Atlanta, thinking that my life was over. God had no purpose for me, and there was no reason for me to go on living. And in that psychiatric hospital, God used 2 things to save my life. I wear one of them on a bracelet right here. Romans 8:28. God never said that my divorce was His perfect will for me. But He promised me in that psychiatric hospital that one day, He would use it for good. And the other thing that God used to save my life in that hospital is He said one day I'd come alongside pastors, their spouses, and their children, and I would find a way to help them, that what happened to me would not have to happen to them. I did not have a blueprint that one day I would be able to write a little workbook that now has been used in some 14,000 churches across the country, and that I would get to be able to have the privilege of interacting and helping, sometimes walking through difficult times, even as I had a phone call on Friday night of a pastor whose wife in Oklahoma has walked out on him and is in the process of divorcing. The privilege that I've had with my friend David, who is an African-American pastor in inner city Cleveland, whose wife left him several years ago, and I walked through 3 years. But I got to do it because I wrote that little workbook that God has used in so many different places around the country, to be able to come alongside pastors and support them and to help them. Can I tell you guys something? I do not believe that this morning that I am using the platform that God has given me, that your pastor has given me the privilege to stand up on here today, to work on the baggage that went on in my life and why I would almost make such a horrible decision to take my life, and what led to, by the way, some people struggle with drugs and alcohol, mine happened to be work, and what would cause me to make such bad decisions. I don't believe that I'm using this as a platform anymore. Went through a lot of counseling to figure out a lot of who I am. But can I tell you something? 30 years later, almost, there's not a day that I don't ask God, do not let me forget July 19th, 1989. Because you see, in that pain, God gave me a purpose. In that failure in my life, God gave a future. In that tragedy, God was able to triumph. Can I tell you guys something? God oftentimes will take your pain, watch this one, to fulfill His purpose in and through your life. What's your perspective of the pain that you've walked through? Number four, and I'll quickly do these last two. Number four, God often uses what I call experiences of failure. Many of you know the story in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. That's the story of the night before Jesus was crucified. Around a campfire, Peter denied the Lord three times. I believe if you walk up to Peter in heaven and you say to Peter, "Peter, can you tell me what was the defining experience of your life? Peter, what gave you the courage, as church tradition says, to be crucified upside down because you did not consider yourself worthy to be crucified the way our Lord was? Peter, what gave you the courage some 50 days later in front of a very potentially hostile crowd in Acts 2:36 to say these words right here? Therefore, let Israel be assured of this. This Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." What gave you the courage, Peter? Do not be surprised if he doesn't take you back to a campfire and tell you the defining experience of his life was a failure. Church, can I tell you something today? God uses people who make mistakes. I am so saddened sometimes in the church to watch how people make mistakes and we just discard them and shun them. God uses broken, repentant people. Oftentimes, those people that have walked down those roads of some failure in their life, they put their lives back together, and it is those people who come and walk alongside people who have been where they have been in their life. God uses those times that you fail often to fulfill His purpose. You know what some of us do? We won't admit to ourselves, much less anyone else, where we've come from. And sometimes we wonder why God doesn't use us, because we won't even acknowledge to ourselves that we have messed up sometimes in our life. But God, in His graciousness, has put our lives back together. What's your perspective on those experiences of failure in your life? Lastly, I don't want to end on a negative note. God uses those spiritual moments in our lives, experiences. God uses those educational teaching times. He uses the pain experiences in our life, even our failures. But let's look at this last one. God often uses the victorious experiences in our lives. Those times that we have success. I love this verse in the Bible. Genesis 32:28, it says, "Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome.'" God uses those times in our lives. We overcome a habit in our life. We overcome an addiction in our life. Hey, maybe we were elected the vice president of our class of three, but we knew we had success. God uses those times that we are successful to oftentimes guide us to the purpose, to use those successful experiences to fulfill His purpose in and through our lives. In the material that I hope that you walk through called Finding Your Place in Life and Ministry, there's a page in there that talks about what are some experiences that you've had success, victory, or triumph in. And I've people have pointed this out to me more than once. There's several that I list in there on that page. And the fourth one on the page, this is what it says. And people have said, that's strange. It says, buying a jump rope and learning how to walk through a jump rope. People say, that's a strange one. And I say, well, when you write your own material, you can put anything you want in there. You see, when I was born, the way that my mom carried me, my feet were turned straight in, just like this. And when I got to be 4 years of age, they put little braces from my waist all the way down to my feet. And about every 2 weeks, I went to the doctor and had my little braces adjusted. And they told my mom, they said, one day that little fellow may walk fairly normal, but don't expect a whole lot more from him. And on one of those two-week visits to the doctor in Savannah, I asked my mom, I said, Mom, can I take my money out of my piggy bank and can I buy myself a jump rope? What do you tell a little six-year-old crippled boy? You can't have a rope? Well, my mom let me buy that jump rope and nobody went in the backyard, but little Jay took his rope and he couldn't jump, but he could turn it and he could pick his feet up a little bit, and eventually he got a little better and eventually his little braces came off. And eventually, little Jay did learn how to walk fairly normal. Eventually, little Jay did learn how to run. And eventually, little Jay got to be a wide receiver on a national championship football team. Can I tell you this morning, thank you, more than being a receiver on that football team, I believe that God took the experience of a six-year-old little boy to give me the drive and the determination to come alongside ministers, their spouses, and their children, and to support them. God uses those times in your life that you have success. But where we're all can be different, where we're not all the same, is the perspective that we look at those life experiences. For you to be truly used by God the way God intended, for you to truly leverage your life the way God intended, it has to be for His purpose, not your purpose. So I end with this with you. Life experiences. What is your perspective? Thank you for the privilege to be here with you. And I hope that that will be something that you, that question will be a question you process even as you leave on this Super Bowl Sunday, but more importantly, this Lord's Day. Pastor, thank you.
Have you enjoyed them? I appreciate Jay and just the transparency he shared with us. If God gave us all a platform to be able to stand, I know there's some painful experiences, there's some religious educational experiences, there's some victorious experiences for every one of us. One of the goals we have here at Crossroads is that we could just be exposed by God for who we are and then begin to discover how God's going to use that to give us a platform, either wherever we are. I want us to prepare for the offering, but I want us to do it this way. In the pew rack right in front of you, there's a little place card. I want you to pull that out. Everybody should get one of these, because in response to that, we want to give you an opportunity to discover what your place is. And this is something I'm absolutely convinced. It's a part of our discipleship process, but I'm absolutely convinced it's going to help you in your workplace. It's going to help you in your marriage, in your family. It'll help you in your Christian life as you're learning where you can minister. And so there's a five-step process, as you see, P-L-A-C-E. There's a five-session grouping that you can learn from to discover who you are and what God is doing with you. Mike Fiddler is going to be overseeing this ministry, but I want you to look on there. I'm interested in finding my place. You might want to do this just on a one weekend thing, a Friday night, Saturday, and you could check that. We're going to do it on February 22nd, 23rd, Friday night and Saturday morning, go through the entire place process. or you can sign up for a weekly session over a five-week period, and that's going to begin February 27th and going through March 27th, Wednesday evenings for five sessions. If none of those dates work for you and you're like, but I want to be a part, I want to see what God has for me and how he's developed me, just check. I want it on a different day and perhaps on the blank line underneath that. Just suggest some times, and Mike will get back in touch with you, and we'll try to make this available wherever we can. And at the bottom there, you can say, I would like Pastor Mike Fidler to contact me to help me better understand place. One of the things you can do right after we receive our offering and we sing our closing song, I'm going to ask Jay and Pastor Mike to be at the table back there. Mike's already back there at the table. There's some information there if you just want to look over that, or if you have a question for Jay or for Mike. Mike will be more specifically about the ministry, how we're going to develop that here. But Jay, you may just have a question or something you'd like to share with him. So take that opportunity. Likewise, I'm going to be in the back in the center just to meet with any of our guests that have come today. Let's pray together, and then we're going to receive our offering. You can take this and put it right in the offering plate, this place thing. Father, thank you for your grace to us, and once again, I'm just thankful that the truth of the scripture that Jay presented. Father, not all things in life are good, and certainly every one of us would have a testimony of the difficulties we've had in this life. But Father, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, you work it out for good, and that's a promise we can cling to. That's a promise we have true hope in. And I pray, Father, you would touch every one of our hearts and give us a proper perspective of living this life up to the point of today. And how are we going to look towards tomorrow and the days we have left on this earth? I pray we would have your perspective and we would live it out for your glory and for our joy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's receive our offering, and then in just a few moments, we'll stand up and sing our last song.